I be playing.
Hello and welcome to the Iron Bowl edition of Skybox here on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Mark Mayfield, editorial advisor in the Office of Student Media at the University of Alabama. My usual two co-hosts, Dr. Adam Sterrett and Andrew Deere, are out this week for the Thanksgiving break, and they'll be back in their usual seats here next week when we take a look at all the conference championship games around the country. Standing in for them today is my professional colleague here in student media, Brian Giles. Brian and I talked throughout the week about college football, and I think he's about as knowledgeable as anybody on this sport that I know. Hey, most of my football picks come out of discussions Brian and I have during the week. Hey, also joining us here in a while will be Dr. John Latta, a professor in the Honors College, who's originally from New Zealand, where I don't think they play much college football, but they sure play a lot of other sports. John, however, has been here on campus for quite a while, and by now he's fully immersed into the Bama dynasty. We'll hear from him in a few minutes. But first, Brian, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me on, Mark, and I'm excited to be here. And one of my favorite parts of the week every week is chatting with you about sports. So it's really exciting to do it today on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. We take our chat from our office and we just put it on the air, right?
Right.
That's a dangerous thing, some of the things we go over. But, hey, let's look around, you know, at some of the games today, Brian. And you and I have talked off the air some about these already, but big rivalry weekend, big rivalry day today with some huge games. Nothing bigger, really, than that Michigan-Ohio State game at 11 this morning. What do you think about the game?
Yeah, you know, I think Michigan's had a really good season and have a lot of momentum with Harbaugh, but with I think the X factor in this game is going to be quarterback Spate out for the game, and I just don't see how Michigan overcomes the road game in the horseshoe against Ohio State. I like Ohio State in this one, and I think the Buckeyes and JT Barrett are just going to be too much for Michigan.
All right. Well, we'll see. It's it's gonna a lot at stake, and probably more at stake in this Michigan Ohio State game than any we've seen in a long, long time, especially for Michigan, who hasn't been on this national stage in this way in quite a while. Other games around the obviously we got the Iron Bowl here. We'll talk about that later, but. Other big games around the country, really, oddly enough, that Utah at Colorado game today is going to be really interesting out at Colorado. And if Colorado wins that one, they win the, they'll win the Pac-12 South, which is amazing considering I don't think any of us really gave that team much credit before the season started. They hadn't done anything in the last 2 or 3 years or longer than that, probably the last 10 years. So, that's going to be an interesting game. Utah's won like 4 of those in a row, but Colorado's, I think, a slight favorite, and we'll see how that goes. I mean, we'll get to our picks later, but that's a big game, a lot on the line.
Yeah, the Buffaloes have had a great season, and they've really got it turned around and got some positive momentum, and the coaching staff there has just done a tremendous job, and they're starting to get some athletes in there, and I think this year will be a huge boost for their recruiting moving forward.
Yeah. Another one that's kind of interesting, I think, in terms of the SEC, well, a couple of them, one of them, Florida at Florida State tonight, 7 p.m. game tonight, is clearly going to set the table for the SEC championship game a week from now when Bama meets Florida. And if Florida could manage to win that game, who knows, they might sort of work their way back into some discussions. You know, they've only lost 2 games. They had that big win at LSU. They're not favored to win that game tonight, but that's going to be interesting, especially in terms of Florida's momentum going into the SEC title game.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how Florida bounces back after that emotional game versus LSU. Very physical game. And with FSU, here in the state of Alabama, we understand the significance of our rivalry. Right. That's a huge rivalry there. And the Gators are it's going to be a tough road in Tallahassee. So I'm excited to see what happens down there.
Yeah. A few others, Mississippi State at Ole Miss, both of those teams with losing records, I think, right now. I think Ole Miss can get bowl eligible maybe today with a win. I can't remember. But But that game doesn't have a whole lot of significance outside of the state of Mississippi. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, we've seen Mississippi State look horrible, and we've seen them actually stand up and beat Texas A&M.
Yeah, both of these teams are having really tough years, and I know this game is traditionally called the Egg Bowl. It probably is a would closer resemble a rotten Egg Bowl this year. But
right.
You got two good coaches and two different philosophies there, and it'll be interesting to see how that game plays out in Ole Miss tonight.
Yeah, Oxford. Yeah, it should be. Another one that's usually a big game on the national stage. Well, actually, interesting. Notre Dame's been the team. Notre Dame at USC today, and Notre Dame's been the team that that has had the better record over these last few years. Suddenly, you got a resurgent USC team, and you got a Notre Dame team struggling to have a winning season. This is not a good Notre Dame team this year. And significantly, I think this game is in the afternoon today. It's not a night game. That's usually a big game. USC is a favorite in there, so that's another one, a traditional game. But USC has an outside shot at the Pac-12. South if Colorado loses today. So it's a big game for USC.
Well, this is definitely two teams going in different directions. USC, now that they've found their quarterback, is definitely one of the hottest teams in the country. And Notre Dame is definitely going in the wrong direction. And, Brian Kelly's seat is definitely getting hot, and you're seeing his name pop up on some coaching searches around the country. So it makes you wonder about the stability of the head coaching position there. It's going to be a tough road for Notre Dame with the Trojans.
Yep. Another one, Big Ten game, thinking of our former colleague, our buddy George Brown, who used to be the head of the UA Rec Center and Recreation here and now at Minnesota. Minnesota at Wisconsin today. Again, not a lot on the line for the Gophers, but a lot on the line for the Badgers, Wisconsin, and who also – if they get into the Big Ten championship game and win it, has a shot at getting in the Final Four. It's not I wouldn't call it a great shot right now, but it's certainly possible, depending on what else happens here in the college football world. So that's going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, this has been a one-sided series for about the last 12 years with the wins going to Wisconsin, and the Gophers are going to have an uphill battle in Camp Randall today if they're going to get it done.
Yep. And then finally, here in the SEC, Tennessee at Vandy, that game could get really interesting. I mean, we'll do our picks later, but that game's, that's a big game for Tennessee too, by the way, because they've got a shot at the Sugar Bowl. At least they think they do. If Bama wins out and Florida, let's say, loses today to Florida State and loses to Bama, then Tennessee would have the inside track to the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be an interesting game. And, Vandy is definitely trending up, and their quarterback, Shurmur, has been performing well the last few weeks. And, after that Auburn game, Vandy kind of turned the corner and has been playing some really good football. And Butch Jones with his comments this week, and claiming that the players have won the life championship, is going to be interesting to see what happens in this game this afternoon.
Yeah, I think anybody who's listened to this show regularly knows we're not too – well, except for Andrew, who's not here today, so I can speak and I can talk about the Vol. They know we're not Vol fans around this place. Big rivalry, Bama and Tennessee, although it hadn't been much of a rivalry lately, considering Bama's won 10 in a row. But lots of talk out of Butch Jones this week with the everybody gets a trophy, the championship of life award. He caught such flack over that. It's unbelievable.
As he should.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Well, look, that kind of sets the table for, games nationally. We're going to talk a lot about the Iron Bowl here in a while. Huge game for Bama and Auburn today, and we'll do that. But first, let's take a break. Dr. John Latta of UA's Honors College is going to be here with us when we come back. So we'll see you back here. And as I said earlier, John's a native of New Zealand, and he knows a lot more than I'll ever know, let's say, about rugby and cricket and those kind of games, and I know we're going to talk to him about it. So let's take a break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's a pleasure to have Dr. John Latta in the studio with us. John teaches several classes in UA's Honors College, including one on Revolutionary writer, pamphleteer, philosopher, activist Thomas Paine, and also a class on gossip, something we're good at here on Skybox.
Yeah, I'll give you some tips.
And he also leads the Mosaic Magazine class here on campus. John knows his college football, but as we mentioned earlier, he's also a native New Zealander, Kiwi, and just for him, we've added a big rugby match to our fearless picks today, and we'll get to that in a while. But first, John, it's great to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me. It's enjoyable to be here.
Yeah, it's great. Tell us a little bit about what's happening in the honors and classes and how the semester's going for you.
Not too bad. With Mosaic especially, and the way we do our classes, they can be unpredictable. We're sort of invited to teach them in a little off-kilter way, try and take some students out of their kind of favorite places that they've been studying in for so many years. So it can be a little unpredictable, and my classes this year have been unpredictable, which is a really good thing. I like it that way. So it's been going very well. How it'll end, I don't know. It's looking like one of the better ones.
It's ending quickly, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we're almost to the end of the semester here.
Yeah, I constantly get surprised by, everyone, all my students telling me, no, we won't be here next week. It's fall break. And I'm like, really? Already? I had no idea.
So right.
They're catching up on me.
Right. I wonder if, every time we have the fall break, I'm wondering if they're going to come back for the last couple of weeks of school.
I do a head count. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Good. Well, look, one of the things I'm kind of interested in is the gossip class. I'm the editorial advisor in the Mosaic class where you're the instructor, but so I know a lot about that one, but gossip class sounds really interesting to me. How does that work and what sorts of things do you go into there?
It's a little misleading. I think a lot of the students get misled. They think we're going to talk about Hollywood celebrities all the time, and this actually grew out of studying and teaching for so many years in communication information sciences here on campus. And I think gossip is ignored, and there are a lot of reasons. One, it's miscast always as negative and malicious and so on. And secondly, it's perilously hard to study because as soon as you think you've isolated it, people stop talking and start performing. So it's very hard to study. I wanted to put a class together that looked at this as a serious communication study. So we start with evolutionary psychologists. We look at the way gossip fits into language, into the way we make meaning of things and how we keep groups together, how we communicate with people from family to friends. And towards the end, we get towards social media, which has changed everything. And I think the students know more than I do when we get there because they use it more. So it's a serious study we do have chances to run some. We run some Bachelor and and Kardashians and so on, but we're seriously looking at gossip and rumor. Rumor arises when we're in a dangerous but uncertain situation, and it's essential in how we find out what's going on or how we think we know what's going on. So it is serious, but we do have a lot of fun with reality TV and Hollywood, and we finish up with social media, where my students are definitely ahead of the curve in trying to understand how it works, how it's changing.
Yeah. I know you used to teach an ethics class in the journalism school. It sounds like the gossip thing has elements of the ethics in that as well, in terms of how you deal with rumor, what kind of facts or so-called facts, because there may not be facts, that you pass along, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we actually spend a little time on ethics because it's a difficult thing to attach. But I think you have to study it if you're trying to figure out how any communication works between people or between groups. And is it ethical or is it unethical? In the end, we finish up in a gray area, but leaning towards it's not unethical. But we ask students to make a case for that rather than just, riff on what they think might be the case. So there's some serious – ethics is a very difficult study when it comes to gossip, but it's essential if you want to understand it.
Yep. What about Thomas Paine? I mean, are students – I would think today students, unless they've studied – unless they're really, gone in depth in American history and that kind of thing, they might not know as much about Thomas Paine as some think they would. How do you find that, and how's the interest level there?
The interest level is very high, I think, and it comes from the fact that people have heard of Paine. They've been forced to study common sense and memorize These Are the Times That Try Men's Souls from Crisis, and they come sort of, we're interested to see where he fits. We don't know much about him. He's an intriguing figure. To me, he was, at his earliest, a journalist, and that's what got me interested. And he's been miscast. He's been not given credit for some things. He's also a tremendously interesting character. Unlike some of the other founding fathers, and I do consider him in that pantheon somewhere,
right.
He hasn't been mythologized, and so he's a very real character. And when we're studying American history, it helps, from my point of view, to have a character that's flawed, it's a little bit unpredictable, who is definitely influential, who wanders off from here and goes to the the French Revolution, where he's equally a major figure. I mean, this is a guy one night, Napoleon knocked on his door and asked to speak to him. So he knew everybody, he interacted with everybody, he was the best-selling author of the 18th century. And so we study him as an author, as a writer, as an oddball, and as having a lasting influence, I think, from that era, from the founding era to me. He and Jefferson are the two that I'm most interested in telling us about the average American's participation in what we have today.
You also lead a student trip to New Zealand each year, and is there still time for students to sign up for that? And it's through the Honors College, I think, right?
So. Yes, this is an honors class. Go through educationabroad.ua.edu, and we'll be going in May of next year. And I've just finished the itinerary and costs, so everything's there if you sign up there, and you'll get moved over to our class, and we can get together and start talking about what we're going to do, where we're going to go. I've got an itinerary that's sent to a lot of people. We've got some good sign-ups, but there's still a little bit of room. We go in May, and we're there for the entire month of May. It's the New Zealand fall. It's in the 60s. It's pleasant.
Yeah, yeah. That's what a, you know, what a great trip for students. Do you expect anything different? You know, there was an earthquake there.
Yeah.
Do you expect anything, you know, to have how will that affect? I know it won't affect the trip, but how will that affect the, you know, once you're there and doing what you need to do and that kind of thing?
We're on New Zealand's on this rim of fire around the Pacific, and we get, I think, in New Zealand something like 4,000 earthquakes a year. And the vast majority of them, of course, don't, you know, do anything. New Zealand is very aware of this. It's very prepared for it, and I don't think it really affects us that much. The way we travel, we know where we're going, we're well prepared for that. So I don't think it's going to affect the trip, and it really doesn't affect much of what we do. I think the awareness of it and sort of a planning for it, but we have had no problems, and I honestly don't expect any. If we do, I think we're very ready for it. New Zealand is aware of this. It's not going to surprise anybody. So.
There's a lot of adventure on this trip, right? I mean, these students get to do a lot of crazy and wild things, right?
We have two problems. One, they're adults, and two, they have free time.
Right.
So last year they did some we have a really good academic structure. We're doing basically a form of ethnography. I'm putting everything I need academically into some conversation talking points, and we're talking to locals, and then we're getting together and finding out what we found, and then we're refining that process. But so we're not spending a lot of time sitting in classrooms. But when they had free time last year, they enjoyed skydiving, whitewater rafting most of the time, except when they were under the water, then it was jumping off bridges, buildings. I was, and will be again, the responsible adult on the ground.
I think that's the better option there than the bungee jumping thing, right?
The students last trip actually called me on this. They suddenly figured I wasn't actually the responsible adult on the ground. I was kind of just didn't want to do it. And the last one, we went whale watching, and I very seriously said, look, it's very rough out there. If anyone feels they're going to be seasick, I'll stay here with you. And they looked at each other, and they giggled. They'd figured it out. You don't want to go, do you? So they all went, and it was fine.
It sounds great. Well, look, John, you know, if you'll hang around with us a few minutes, we want you to make some college football picks and also that rugby pick. So let's take a short break, and we'll be right back to talk about some football games. You're in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. So Dr. John Ladd is with us here, and let's take a look at some games today, John, and see if you can make some, I know you will, some fearless picks here. We're going to start out with, the big one. You mentioned it earlier, Michigan at Ohio State. They got a lot of people on each side of this thing.
Yeah, they're two teams that I get rather – oh, there's not a nice word. interested in that, I go back and look at some of their old coaches that I used to watch, and back in the Schembechler and Woody Hayes eras, and I don't know. I'm looking at these two, and I'm trying to be rational, hard with these teams, but I think I would probably go with the upset. I think Michigan can.
Wow, that's fearless.
You said fearless.
Yeah,
Ohio State's had some. Time when they seem to not play up to anywhere near their potential, and they've had games where this has happened. I'm not a particular fan of either coach, but I don't know. I have a sort of feeling they might be, even though they're in the horseshoe, aren't they?
Yeah. Yep,
that they might be vulnerable in a couple of areas. That the defense might just let them down a couple of times. I'm not sure Michigan hasn't done the same thing this season. The record says they might have had the same sort of blank out periods, but I just had a feeling that maybe this might be a good time for an upset. It's one of those games I think that's so intense.
Yeah.
It's got a sort of an iron bone feel about it, you know, that when it happens, I'm not sure who's actually a favorite when you get together there. So I'm going to go with Michigan on this one. I think they can upset them.
All right, good. That'd be, you know, an interesting it'd be great for college football if you think about it in terms of the chaos. Well, it won't cause a lot of chaos. Michigan's in the top four as it is. But all right, the next one, little closer to home, over in Atlanta, Georgia, Georgia Tech.
This is the one I wish wasn't on the list. I've been thinking, okay, Georgia should win this. And, you know, Georgia Tech, I'm not sure what the line is. I think it's 4 or something like that. But I've been thinking Georgia all the way. I don't think their last the Auburn game was something that launched them any further than they were. They don't seem to have improved that much. There's a sort of a stasis about them at the moment, and I don't know that they can break out of it. It's dangerous to sit and change a pick at the last moment. I still think Georgia can win it. But Georgia Tech's played some really good games this season.
They have, yeah.
And Georgia has still that sort of look that Smart hasn't stamped himself on it, and there's a little bit of uncertainty in it. So I'm going to do what I shouldn't do and go with the home team and go with Georgia Tech.
Okay. All right. Again.
It's like lining up a putt in the last minute. You say, no, it's two, and then you miss it. But I've just been thinking on the way over here. I think Georgia has some of those same problems that they've had recently. There's a wrecked look about that team at times. And I wonder if Georgia Tech just has enough to beat them.
All right. I think it's fearless. We're going to skip over the Iron Bowl here for a minute. Right. Let's go to Mississippi State at Ole Miss. Two teams not having great seasons.
No. I think Ole Miss's highs have been higher than Mississippi State's highs. They're playing in Oxford. Ole Miss with its quarterback problem, but Mississippi State just hasn't shown enough to think that they can be consistent for a full game, enough to beat Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss wins this one comfortably.
All right, okay. Utah at Colorado, not normally a big game, but it is this year.
Yes. Colorado.
All right, yeah.
At home, one of those seasons, I'm thinking maybe next season they're not like a team that can constantly stay on the top, but they've got there and they seem to have a lot of breadth and a lot of depth.
Yeah.
Utah, to me, was more of a surprise, I think, than Colorado. But I think Colorado can win that one.
Okay. Florida State. Who you got?
I'm of the opinion that maybe Jimbo Fisher's in audition mode here, and I think Florida State probably can beat Florida. I mean, Florida's had some of those problems we've talked about here that they – sometimes they've looked pretty good. Other times they look terrible. And Florida State at home, the Florida State, I hope it doesn't come down to a field goal, but Florida State just seems stronger across the board and playing at home. Florida's in the next week. And I just don't know that they've got the incentive or the ability to beat Florida State at home. I think Florida State would win.
Okay. Iron Bowl, what's your pick?
Thanks for asking.
You'd get run off campus if you make the wrong one.
I've packed well away. I mean, by this afternoon, it's going to be. I just don't think Auburn has firepower. I mean, we're looking at makeshifts in teams. We're looking at people starting who might be injured, people not starting who might be injured when we get, even if they do play, coming off injuries. But, you know, it is one of those, it's an Iron Bowl game, so it could be a coin toss. This is where is Alabama going to get let down? Big plays, turnovers, which has happened in the past.
Right.
And I remember them. But there just doesn't seem to be, if you're talking about a consistent game all game, a chance for them to get away. I mean, I can see a Texas A&M 14-13 lead or something like that early, but I just don't think they can last. And this is what Saban has been so good at, taking game at a time sort of thing, and I don't think Auburn's had the opportunity to do that. So I think we win. I think we win.
All right. Hey, let's add a rugby game here. The New Zealand, the All Blacks for their, you know, traditionally their black uniforms, and big team. Anybody who follows rugby knows how what a great history New Zealand has in this sport. Kind of the international top side team. But they're going into France, and they're playing just outside Paris there. So
right.
Who you got? What do you think?
Well, New Zealand, we won the last two World Cups,
right.
22 international matches in a row until a loss to Ireland a couple of weeks ago, and then
right.
went back and defeated Ireland. We have a long history. I think we first played France about, I think it's something like 100 years ago. I think we were the first international team to play them. And we are playing in Paris, Stade de France. So, France is one of those teams that worries us always, I think, because their big men are very, very good, and they're a little bit unpredictable, very quick when they get out into the open. They're not just a sort of a slug-it-out team. They can, if it does get down in the trenches, they can move it out and get it into the outside and so on. I still think that New Zealand has more ability when it gets tight, you know, if games get tight. And I don't see a huge point spread here, but I do think that New Zealand has more firepower, better big guys, and probably a close one. You know, we beat France in a World Cup match some years ago, 8-7, which is probably the lowest international score in major rugby games in probably 50 years. So yeah. they can surprise, but I don't think they will.
Yeah, yeah. I got a friend in New York, Harley Griffiths, who works with the Brian, you'd be interested in this, works with the 4A's, the American Association of Advertising Agencies, I think. And he officiates rugby.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's even gone to Ireland and done it.
Mm-hmm.
I called him up for a little intel on this. And he said a lot of the same things you're saying. I mean, the All Blacks are just a powerhouse team. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they won the last two World Cups. This is such a big game. I was excited to see it on the schedule today because knowing you're coming in and with your history in New Zealand, and I think it's really cool. I'm going to actually, you know, be really care about seeing this.
Yeah,
thing,
and this, in
television. I hope we can get it here. You know,
we should have it somewhere. In Australia, in the first Tuesday of November, they have the Melbourne Cup. It's a horse race known as the race that stops a nation. Every time the All Blacks play, New Zealand stops.
Yeah.
So everyone will be tuned in, will be watching, and so on. So I'll play my part and try and do it here if I can find it.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, huge, huge match. And, that was, I did see something online where France was talking about a revenge game and it's sort of that thing. But it's almost like, it's like teams playing Alabama that aren't at the same level, you know. And that they all think they got a chance to win, and obviously they do, but it doesn't normally happen.
No, I think it's like Alabama is number one. You're the one. That's the team you want to knock off.
Yeah.
That's if you can beat them, because France is going to play in the Six Nations with England, Wales, Scotland, and Italy, and Ireland. And this is the beginning of that. And if you can beat New Zealand, that's what you want to do. But and that's why it doesn't happen so often.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always had tremendous respect for these guys because they do it without the pads, right?
No pads, no headgear to speak of.
Now, John, do you see similar type injuries as you do in the American sport, or concussions an issue with rugby?
They do have a protocol now, but not as much. I'm not so sure. I think probably the contact is different, not just rules, but the style of contact. You really don't have linemen hitting each other as hard. You don't have people, it would be an illegal tackle to hit someone the way you may hit a receiver when he's coming down with the ball and so on. So I don't think you see as many traumatic injuries, and you don't see as much concussion. And that's basically got to do with the contact. In the scrimmages, many, many years ago, they were very intense. They were just piles of people. Now they tend to be less people and more spread out. So you don't get the same sort of injuries. Concussion is a concern simply because it's concussion, but it's not as common. And I don't think if you went back and looked over the history, you'd have anywhere near the concern you have for older players who played for so many years and are now showing signs of concussion-related problems.
Yeah. Well, good. And I also know from Mosaic, you're introducing some of the students to cricket, you know?
Yes.
I know nothing about cricket. The only thing I've ever learned about cricket is what I've heard from you talk about a little bit. And it's been, but I was happy to see you trying to get Brian in our class, and especially Brian Ogden, into this.
Yeah, I've tried. It depends if we have another, hour and a half. Brian said to me, and Brian's doing our series where he plays at sport. He just played at boxing, and he's now the Texas train wreck. Brian, the Texas train wreck, Ogden. But he's talking about cricket, and I said, well, Brian, my concern is if the ball comes in short and spins toward the leg side and you push at it and nudge it towards gully and it's bounced off there towards silly point and it goes back down and and the throw comes in from third man and it's not fielded and it goes through to mid on and it goes, and he's like, what are these? And it's a difficult thing to explain to someone who hasn't done it. So I'm enjoying the idea of trying to get him into this.
Well, we're going to have to bring you back to talk about all of the terms with cricket, because I got a feeling Brian's not the only one out there who doesn't know this. Well, look, John, thanks for joining us today. Hey, this is great. Thanks for playing along with us on the picks. Come back anytime. It's great to have you.
Yeah, we can talk about cricket. Cricket's the only sport which has a fielding position called cow corner.
There we go.
You can see where that came from.
There we go. All right. Well, very, very good. Now let's take a short break, and then Brian Giles and I'll be back here in a few moments to give our own fearless picks. You're in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox. Today's lineup of games, Brian, begins with a monstrous one up in Columbus. Ohio State hosting Michigan in a battle that will have a huge impact on the college football playoff rankings. So what are you thinking about that game?
Oh, no doubt about it. I'm excited for this one and looking forward to watching it. I alluded to the fact earlier that Spate's going to be out for the game. So I think that makes it difficult for Michigan in this game, especially playing in the Horseshoe, to be competitive. Urban Meyer and JT Barrett and the Ohio State defense, the whole team's just playing real well right now. And in projected to be in the playoff, I think they're just going to be too much for Michigan at home. I look for Ohio State to cruise in this game with the quarterback issue at Michigan.
I agree with you. I think, and it's interesting you said cruise in the game, because I really believe that too. I think Ohio State's not going to have that much difficulty. I mean, they will in the beginning probably, but I think they're going to pull away, and I don't think it's going to be that close in the end at all. I think there are a lot of people out there thinking this is going to be a real tight battle, but I think Ohio State's a lot better than Michigan when they're playing well.
Just has more athletes at this point. And Michigan, there's no doubt about it, they're on the way up, and I think this matchup becomes very interesting in the coming years. And I think this year Ohio State will take it. Next year in Michigan and Ann Arbor could be a different story.
Yeah, it's a good point. Also at 11 this morning, Georgia Tech at Georgia. Who you got?
Well, I'm going with the Dogs. I just believe Georgia has finally turned the corner in that game versus Auburn, and I like the way they played on defense and are coming together for Kirby Smart. Jacob Eason is improving at quarterback, and I think he's going to be able to make some throws downfield to kind of open up that running game for Chubb. I think Georgia gets it done. I think the defense is too strong for Georgia Tech. Georgia will be able to load the box against that wishbone, and I just don't see Georgia Tech being much of a threat to Georgia in this one. I think Georgia wins this one fairly easily.
All right. Also, hey, our favorite guy, Bobby Petrino, hosting Louisville, and Bobby Petrino hosting Kentucky, also 11 o'clock game. What do you think? And by the way, I agree with you on Georgia. I think they win that game at Tech.
Well, Kentucky's allowing 428 yards a game, and this just doesn't it's not a good matchup for them, especially with Louisville coming off that bad loss versus Houston. I think Lamar Jackson bounces back in this game, has a huge game, and I don't even think this one's going to be close. I think this one will be Louisville big.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Louisville's going to blow them out. They're like a 26-point favorite right now, and I think they're going to really step on the gas. In a weird way, I think they want to beat Kentucky worse than Bama beat them, even though that means absolutely nothing. But, Petrino, because he didn't get a chance to do his running up the score thing last week when they lost, I think he's going to take it out on Kentucky.
Well, Lamar Jackson lost a lot of luster in this Heisman race because of his performance against Houston, and I think he'll have a little bit of chip on his shoulder to come back out and show the Heisman voters that he's what he believes is the top choice. I know Jalen Hurt here at Alabama is making a case and has a great opportunity with the games coming up, but Lamar's been the favorite the whole season, and I think he comes back this week after an embarrassing defeat to Houston last week and really lights up the Wildcats.
Yep. All right. Oh, by the way, I've been saying, I think I said a couple of times here today, Georgia is going to Georgia Tech. That's just the opposite. That game's in Athens.
That's correct.
I need to correct myself on that one. All right, we'll skip over Bama. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Mississippi State at Ole Miss, what do you think?
Well, I probably gave this one away a little bit earlier in the intro, but this is two bad teams this year.
Yeah.
And, Ole Miss has had a lot of injuries, and Mississippi State losing Dak Prescott he's been a tough guy to replace. I like Ole Miss in this game. I just feel like Freeze is a better coach, and with all things considered, Shea Patterson is a up and comer and is going to be a real threat moving forward in the SEC. I like his style, his escapability, and I know he had a rough game against Vanderbilt last week, but I look for him to bounce back and get over the hump and win the Egg Bowl for Ole Miss.
I totally agree with you. I think he's the difference in this game, and I think they're really – Ole Miss is in a mode now preparing for next year. You know, that's what this game means to them. All right, in the Big Ten, we have George Brown's Minnesota at Wisconsin today. Wisconsin the favorite, but what do you think?
Well, I don't know a lot about Minnesota. I've seen Wisconsin play earlier in the year versus LSU, and then I watched them in a couple of other Big Ten matchups. I'm going to go with Wisconsin. I just like the physicality of that team, and I think Wisconsin gets it done and extends the winning streak and gets the Paul Bunyan axe.
All right. I'm with you on that. I think they got a lot to play for with the Big Ten possibility of getting into the Big Ten championship game. Michigan State at Penn State's an interesting game because Penn State has to win out to get to they'll have the inside track to get to the championship over Ohio State. Or unless Michigan wins. If Michigan wins, then that's a different thing. But a lot to play for Penn State, and Michigan State not having a very good season, but they did. They nearly beat Ohio State last week.
You're exactly right. Michigan State really showed up for that game and played a hard game against Ohio State and had a chance there in the fourth quarter to drive the field and possibly win that game. I think the decision there – to go for two was probably the wrong call. They may have should have kicked the extra point and tied that game and then just had a chance to to either win it late in the fourth quarter with a field goal. And if not, if you don't drive the field, then you at least go to overtime with a shot.
Right.
I'm going to go with Penn State on this. I really wanted to go with Michigan State with the upset, but I'm going to stay with Penn State. I just think Penn State has a lot to play for, and Franklin's got them playing hard. And with this game being the difference maker for me is the fact that it's in Happy Valley, and those folks are, I think, comparable to the fans here at Bryant-Denny. They know how to get loud and make it difficult for an opposing team coming in. So
yeah.
I'm going with Penn State on that one.
Yeah, that's a great point with the crowd. That's a huge crowd, over 100,000. I think like 108 or 9,000. And they do know how to get loud. And they got a good football team. They're on kind of a roll right now. So I'm with Penn State too. We had talked about it earlier, but you know, out in the Coliseum, Notre Dame at USC. So what do you got?
I'm going to go with USC. USC, I think, is one of the hottest teams in the country. They really have it turned around now that they've kind of found their quarterback. Good, strong athletes at wide receiver. Notre Dame's just going in completely the wrong direction. This has been an abysmal season for the Irish. I think Kelly's job may be a little bit in question. There's got to be talk behind closed doors about, you know, do they stay with Kelly? Is Kelly going to jump out for one of these other job openings? So I'm going to go with USC. I think I don't even think this one's close. I think this is big. Probably 21 plus points on this game.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think USC is just going to level them. They are playing really well, and I agree with you. I think it'll be three, four touchdowns. I agree with you. Quickly, let's move. You know, let's talk about Oregon, Oregon State. Both teams with losing records coming into this game. It is at Oregon State.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Oregon on this one. Both of these teams have had terrible seasons, but I think it just comes down to Oregon has better athletes, and so I'm going to go with the Ducks on this one.
Okay, I'm with them too. I'm going with Oregon. I think they've shown some signs of life a little bit, and I think they got enough to beat Oregon State, so I'm with Oregon too. Utah at Colorado, big game. What do you think?
I think Ralphie gets it done. Buffs are going to take this one at home. This has been a great season, great turnaround for them. The story continues.
Yep, I'm with you. I think Colorado, you know, they can clinch the Pac-12 today with a win, and I think they'll do it. You know, we got an SEC-ACC matchup, South Carolina at Clemson. That's an important game for Clemson.
Yeah, you know, Muschamp's had a decent season this year, and I think he's probably exceeded expectations of what South Carolina expected. My heart's with South Carolina on this one. I would love to see him get it done, but I can't step out there on the limb and call an upset on this one. I think the combo of Watson and Gallman is just going to be too much, and Clemson gets it done, stays in the playoff.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd love to see South Carolina pull the upset. I'd love to be wrong on this, but I think Clemson wins it too. And I don't have anything against Clemson. They're at least the kind of orange team I like. I don't like that Vol orange team, but Clemson's okay with Dabo. Speaking of the Vol orange team, however, they're at Vandy. That could be a tough game for Tennessee today. What do you
think?
I
hate Tennessee. That's right. Just that orange you can't set next to.
It is.
I'm going with Vandy on this. This is my fearless pick of the week. Vandy gets the upset. Vandy Shermer is just playing tremendous, and really think this kid turned the corner against Auburn and is playing fantastic. He's making the hard throws. You know, Vandy has the defense to shut down the Vols and Dobbs, and I believe Vandy gets it done in Nashville and makes it very difficult for Butch Jones. And as I mentioned earlier, it's a good thing they've won that life championship, because I think they're Vandy's going to anchor down, and they're going to take this one at home.
Hey, I'd love to be as fearless with you on it. And again, this is one I hope I'm wrong on, but I'm going to stick with the Vols on it. I think because of their offense, I do think Vandy's D is going to hold them back quite a bit. But I think Tennessee's going to have enough offense with Dobbs finally getting on track a little bit to pull out what is probably going to be a close game, but I'm going to go with the Vols on this one. So we'll see. But again, I would love to be wrong. I'd love to see the pumpkin orange have another bad day. That'd be great. Florida at Florida State. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Florida State. I think Florida, just coming off that physical and emotional game against LSU, it's hard to get you know, back up for the game this week with Florida State. And I think the combination of Dalvin Cook and the Florida defense, I think they'll take this one home in Tallahassee.
Yeah, I'm going with Florida State too. I think Florida's this is a tough, but you know, Florida State's playing pretty well now, and Florida just does not have the offense to outscore them. I think Florida State wins. Hey, that's our picks from games around the nation. Let's take another quick break, and we'll come right back with our Iron Bowl picks. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Michael Kasky. I'm a civil engineering major, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Well, what else can we say? It's a monumental game this afternoon, the Iron Bowl, you know, between Alabama and Auburn. And this has been, this is one of the, I guess you'd say, it's either Michigan, Ohio State, or Alabama, Auburn is the biggest rivalry in the country. We think it's the Iron Bowl. Oddly enough, you know, I was reading a statistic on this. This is the ninth straight year where one of the two teams has come in ranked number one or number two in the country, and I think eight of those times it's been Alabama, which is kind of an amazing statistic. But Bama's favorite today, a pretty heavy favorite. I think the line, you may know more about this than I do, Brian, I think the line started at like 17 or 18, went up to 20. I think it's back down to about 17.5, something like that.
Yeah, that's correct. And it is a big line, and that's one thing that is very interesting in this game. And I think the line indicates injury problems on the Auburn side of the ball. Sean White plays in this game. I could see the game being a lot closer than the 17.5. Same thing with the big running back Petway. I think those two guys are difference makers for Auburn. I think if they're in the game, that number is definitely inside that line. It could be a close game. It could be a late fourth quarter game. Auburn's defense has been tremendous this year, and I think we will definitely see them try to load the box and stop Alabama's rushing attack. They're going to make Jalen Hurts beat them with a pass, and if they can do that, this game's tight. Sean White and Petway are out of this game. I think Alabama has enough offensive weapons that we could see this game could possibly get out of hand in the second half and Alabama cover that line.
Yeah, that's, you know, there's still a lot of there's a lot of ifs about the game in terms of the player personnel and what's going to happen in this game. I think Auburn has been a surprise this year that I certainly didn't think that they were going to do well, and they started off surprising a little bit playing Clemson, remember, closer than I think a lot of people expected. You and I were talking about it at the time that, you know, that was a signal that their defense was going to have a pretty good year, and they've had a good year on defense. They've been in games. They've been able to – the ones they've lost, they've still been in.
You know, they really have. And, early before the season started, I honestly thought this would be a 6-6 team. But they have overachieved. And the games like the Clemson game, which I thought was going to be a huge blowout. I thought Clemson, especially coming off of the championship game where they played Alabama so tough and were right there in the fourth quarter, that game against Clemson was going to be a blowout. And Auburn performed well in that game. And that game, even with the quarterback carousel that Gus had on the field that day, had they had Sean White start that game Auburn would have had a real chance to win that game. But they definitely have overachieved this year, and they've played good football down the stretch and won some key games. I think that LSU win was very key to their season, and that was kind of a turning point for that team. They were on a little bit of a slide, and they've really used that win to kind of springboard this season and kind of make have a really good record and make a really good run.
Yeah, they have. It's probably one of Malzahn's better coaching efforts, with the team this year. And as far as Alabama's concerned, you know, Bama, a lot of people are saying, well, it's okay. Bama can get in the playoffs. They can lose Auburn and still get into the playoffs if they win the SEC title. And that's probably true. But from a fan standpoint, I don't think that would be very satisfying to Alabama fans for Bama to win a national championship. But having lost to Auburn. I mean, there's a lot on the line in that game today.
Yeah, that would be a huge letdown, and no Alabama fan wants to see that. And we've seen what happens, when we've lost a game and had to go have the consolation prize game with Oklahoma and Utah in the past. And I think it would definitely be one of those scenarios. Even though we're not out of it, it would just be bittersweet, and I think it would be detrimental to the morale of the team if we come up short in this game.
Yeah, and it would take away the control in terms of – at that point, you do leave it up to the committee. You know, anything can happen. Some of the anti-Alabama stuff out there could start to work its way, it could be an excuse like, hey, they did lose to their rival and they lost it at home. But losing to the rival would probably be a negating factor in that. But also just be it would leave a bitter taste. You're right. It really would. It's more – I also saw another argument. Well, if it's better to lose Auburn than to lose the SEC title game, because then that takes away one of the criteria it's not mandated that you have to be a conference champion, but it certainly gives more argument to other teams if they're conference champions and you're not. So really losing either of these two games is not a good thing for Alabama. They've got two tough games ahead of them right here, but the first one today is going to be a really tough one. The other thing, and you and I've talked off the air a little bit about this, is Jalen Hurts. That he didn't have a great game last week. The whole team didn't have a great game last week against Chattanooga. They obviously won it big, 31-3, but they didn't look too good doing it.
Well, it's got to be a challenge for the team to get up for a game like Chattanooga, and that's not taking anything away from Chattanooga, but it's just a different level of football, and you could tell that the players were probably looking past that game and looking towards the Iron Bowl. Jalen was a little off. I think we'll need Jalen to step up big in this game. It's really important that he's able to pass the ball down the field with accuracy to kind of open up the run for the tailbacks, and I think he's going to do that. We've seen signs of that all year, and we're at the point in the season where I think he's really going to step up and going to shine in the next two games with Auburn and Florida and Atlanta.
Yeah, well, he's got a big stage today. This is a big stage.
It's a huge opportunity. Like I said, with Lamar Jackson, his performance last year at Houston, it's a great opportunity for Jalen to really showcase his talents, and I think Lane Kiffin's going to put Jalen in situations where he can use his talents to make some big plays, and I think we'll see some big running plays, and I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see some deep balls early in the game to kind of set the tone and to kind of back Auburn out of that box with the safeties.
Yep. I think also we're going to see a little motivation from people like Jonathan Allen. John, I noticed Jabril Peppers is on the Maxwell final list and on the Bednarik final list. Allen's on the Bednarik final list, I believe, but not on the Maxwell, the player of the year. And I, to my view, Jonathan Allen's maybe the best player in college football. I mean, that doesn't mean he could win the Heisman, but
he's a force of nature, and I could easily see Allen having a huge game versus Auburn. He's going to have an impact. There's no doubt about it. And if he has a huge impact in Atlanta versus Florida, perhaps the guy gets an invite to New York for the Heisman. He's definitely an impact player and one of the best players in college football and one of the best players on this Alabama Crimson Tide team. Just a force of nature.
Yeah. Hey, that reminds me. People should pick up on campus, pick up a copy of the Crimson White print issue, or go online and read. Tyler Waldrop, sports editor of the CW, has an outstanding profile right now online and in the current print issue on Jonathan Allen. He talked to his family, that kind of thing. It's really a wonderful profile, one of the best stories I've seen this year, and I think I highly recommend it. And it tells you a lot about where Jonathan Allen gets his drive from his father and his family. And this guy's been very good for a long time, and he's done it the right way. And he's just somebody you want to pull for and champion. And we all remember, and it's on the cover of the CW, the flying leap, in the Texas A&M game. We may see more of that today. I hope so.
Well, and we mentioned it yesterday. We talked a little bit about Daniel Moore's painting with Cornelius Bennett making the hit on Steve Berline, the sack. And the image from the game with Allen leaping over the defender and sacking the Arkansas quarterback.
Arkansas, not Texas.
It reminded me a lot of of that play of the sack. Just an amazing athlete, and his ability and what he's able to do against the offensive line is just remarkable. And I think it'll make him a top draft pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, no doubt. And then all of them out there, you know, Reuben Foster, the whole group, Brian Anderson, that defense is going to, you know, I feel like they're gonna have a big day today. So let's get to it. What are you thinking in terms of score for the game today?
Honestly, I think the game will be close, through halftime. I do look, especially if Sean White and Petway are out, and Alabama will start to pull away in the third quarter. I don't look for them to cover, but I'm thinking probably a 2-touchdown game in the end. I think Auburn's defense is good enough where they'll shut down Alabama for the most part. But I do believe, we'll see something, 31-17 type of score.
All right. Yeah, I'm in the same ballpark. Yeah, I think this is going to be a lot of emotion in the beginning. Bama has come out and in most big games like this not been over emotional. They've taken care of business while some of the other teams, their opponents, have been emotional. But the Iron Bowl, you know, is a different kind of breed of game. It's the rivalry itself, there's a lot of emotion on both sides, but I think, you know, Alabama's going to come out, and the team we saw against Chattanooga is not the team we're going to see today. We're going to see Bama at their best today. I really believe that. You mentioned on offense, I think Hurts will have a big day. I think it sounds like Stewart's playing. I think Stewart will have a big day. Ridley, the running backs. Obviously, Auburn's defense is something to contend with. This is a really good defense. I think Bama will win it like 35-10. I think it's a little bit more than – I was going to say something like last year, 29-13, but I think they'll be a little bit better than that here. And I think they'll that was kind of – I went down to Auburn last year for that game. That was kind of a struggle, you know, even though Bama was supposed to blow them out by more than that last year, and they didn't. Auburn's tough. I mean, but I think this is a better Alabama team all around, and I think we're going to see the best today. And I think the best against Auburn's best is going to be like 35-10.
I think you're on to something, and the blowout possibility there, I think, hinges with Cam Robinson and how healthy he is at offense. If O.J. Howard has to kind of stay in and help with that block, you could see a tighter game. But if Cam and the offensive line is clicking and is at 100%, then you could see O.J. Howard getting loose like he did against Clemson last year in the championship game, and that could lead to more scoring for the Tide.
Yeah, well, we're going to find out soon here at 2:30, so they'll let it rip then, and it's going to be fun to watch. Well, look, that'll do it for today's Skybox. If you're on the way into town for the game, be careful on the roads out there. Let's hope the Tide continues to roll. And Brian Denny, I want to thank Brian Giles for joining me here on the show today. And thanks to our special guest, Dr. John Ladd of the Honors College. Also, thanks, as always, to our student producer, Dylan Burby, and to Terry Siggers, GM of the radio station here. Join us again next week, same time, same station, and roll Tide, everybody.
Roll Tide.